Bible.
Dr. Tony Evans says what sometimes passes for prayer really isn't. He'll explain today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Before a major sporting event, they will often play the national anthem. Now, the national anthem has absolutely nothing to do with what's getting ready to happen on the field. It is put there as a place of national honor, but totally unrelated to what you came there for. That's an add-on. For many of us, prayer is like the national anthem before a sporting event. It gets it started, but has absolutely no connection to what's happening in our lives. We do it because it's tradition. It's paying homage while being totally disconnected from the field of play of our lives. Prayer is relational communication with God. And the goal of prayer is to draw from heaven into history. The goal of prayer is to get eternity to make a statement in time. It is to make heaven visible on earth. In the Bible, prayer is a lifestyle and not merely an event. If I were to say to you, breathe without ceasing, you would understand what I meant, because if you cease breathing, you'd cease. This is how you roll, that it is a lifestyle, not merely an event.
Learn more about that lifestyle and the blessings it brings into your life. Get details on Tony's CD series, Igniting Kingdom Prayer, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Hi, this is Robert Jeffers, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas. I'm thrilled to invite you to this year's Faith and Freedom Forum at North Jacksonville Baptist Church on Tuesday, April 2nd. Join other local pastors and church leaders as we gather in community and learn how together we can defend our religious liberty. I look forward to seeing you there.
Tuesday, April 2nd at North Jacksonville Baptist Church, the Faith and Freedom Forum. Tickets are limited. Reserve yours today at faithfreedomforum.com.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running, commit liftoff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the SWAT radio program here on Monday, March the 18th, I believe it is. I'm David Gray, along with Doug McCary from His Light Ministries. Brad is out this week, so I'm going to be sitting in with Doug a few days, and Craig and I will be on Friday, I think, but I'm getting ahead of myself. How are you, Doug? It's been a little while. You haven't been on for a bit, have you?
It has been too long. I've been gone. I was out in California.
That's right.
At the Shepherds Conference, and then I was out for last week because of TPC and spring break.
Yeah.
And so I am so glad to be back. I'm like literally busting at the gates. I'm ready to get back in the saddle.
Now let's get something clear. You weren't on spring break, right? You weren't like over at Panama City Beach.
Oh no.
In some of the headlines that we've been seeing here in Florida.
No, not at all. I was out.
I'm kidding,
just
of course.
It was just coming back, and it was really good too, because if you hear now, even my voice is a little raspy because of so much talking. I met so many people out there, some really great people. I'm going to have one guy I met out there on this Thursday. I'm going to try to have some more people in the weeks to come. I don't know if you've ever seen, there's a guy on YouTube, and his YouTube channel is Gospel for Christ. His name is John Henry. And what he does is he'll take a lot of times clips of pastors who are speaking that are teaching error, and then our controversies, or even the thing like with Alistair Begg, he posted videos. He goes through and he actually shows the videos in a very well done way about the videos, and then he'll counter with something like MacArthur says or some Piper says or something. And so he was out there at the conference, and I got a chance to see him. And you've been part of the Thursday group for a while. Were you ever there when Joel was part of that? Joel, you remember Joel? Joel came, gosh, about 7 years ago. And he is now a pastor at Shiloh Church downtown. And Joel was out at the conference, so I got a chance to hang with Joel.
No, I didn't know him. I think that was a little before the time I started going to that group, but well, it's great.
I call him J-Lo. I call him J-Lo. Joel, but anyway, Joel is, it was great to connect with him. And in fact, we went to Shiloh yesterday. We were hoping to hear HB, because HB was out there speaking. Probably he hit it out of the park. I mean, HB Charles, listen, if you live in Jacksonville and you are downtown anywhere close within 15, 20 minutes, you want to go to Shiloh.
Yeah.
Shiloh is a church where the truth is preached.
And he spoke at a SWAT training session in the last couple of years.
He did. Right? He came and just really has a fascinating story. God called him to preach at a very young age and boldly proclaims the truth expositorily. In fact, he's doing a conference coming up in September. I highly encourage you to think about going to it. It's called Cutting It Straight, and it's basically how to study and teach the Word of God. It's a great conference. And anyway, he had a group from the church there as youth pastor. A couple of the worship guys were there and other staff members, and it was great to just connect with those Jacksonville people. I told Joel, I hadn't seen Joel probably, I don't know, in a year or two. I said, I got to go to California to spend some time with you, man. And he's right here in the
city.
Well,
that's like Don Novak and I had to go to the Philippines to realize that we live 300 yards apart.
Yeah.
So anyway, and your girls were off last week from school. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And so anyway, it was a great conference. And, you know, as always, you know, John MacArthur is never one to mince words. And he said something about somebody that created a controversy. And he basically called this person who was a reverend, he called him, he said he wasn't a Christian. And it has sparked a lot of controversy out in our community, I mean, not just in our community, but I mean, like, it sparked controversy. Virgil Walker, who we've had on several times as a guest, and Daryl Harrison have dealt with it. Justin Peters are dealing with it. I want to read you the quote from this pastor. And you tell me, Dave, just from this is from a message he gave that's recorded. Not only it's audibly recorded so you can hear the full context, but he says, the orthodox attempt to explain the divinity of Jesus in terms of an inherent metaphysical substance within him seems to me quite inadequate. To say that Christ is divine in an ontological sense is harmful and detrimental, so that the orthodox view of the divinity of Jesus or Christ is, in my mind, readily denied.
Well, the first word that pops into my head is heresy.
Yeah, okay, so that's one quote. Here's a second one. This doctrine upon which the Easter faith rests symbolizes the ultimate Christian conviction that Christ conquered death from a literal, historical, and philosophical point of view. But this doctrine raises many questions. In fact, the external evidence for the authenticity of this doctrine is found wanting. You know who said those?
No.
Martin Luther King.
Really?
And so John MacArthur went out on a limb and said, he wasn't even a Christian to be putting that kind of doctrine out. I mean, because, listen, you know, MacArthur, obviously, you know, he's really good friends with Alistair Begg, but he called him out for that. But to say that the evidence for the divinity of Jesus is found wanting, that's really bad.
Yeah, and I hope that, and I think you'd agree with me here, and I don't want to get into all the weeds on it, but the issue with Alistair Begg was more a, you know, if Alistair made a mistake, or I don't question Alistair Begg's
faith.
I know you're not either.
No, I'm just saying MacArthur has no qualms about calling things out. But I was sitting there and I heard him say that.
Right.
And I never heard those quotes.
Well, with Martin Luther King, let me put it this way. I admit, I obviously know a lot more about him as a civil rights leader than I do as
and he did a lot of good things for civil rights.
Oh, no question about it. And that's why we know about him, right? That's why he's in history books, and that's why we learn about him in school and have a holiday and all that, because he did do a tremendous amount. But I don't know a lot about him
as a preacher.
As a preacher, and in terms of what he said and in terms of his faith. So that is surprising to hear those things, because, I mean, what do we say about all the cults, right? The main, Richard Cooper said this in his sermon yesterday. The first thing to ask anybody that you suspect of being a cult, in a cult, or the first question of a cult or a fringe denomination is, what do you say about Jesus? Right? What do you say about Jesus? Tell me your view of Jesus. And if it doesn't include that he is fully God, in addition to being fully man, then it makes the Bible out to be an untruthful document. It makes Jesus out to be a liar. And if those things are the case, then our faith, as Paul says, is futile. Right? It's futile. If it goes back to the liar, lunatic, or Lord, a comment of C.S. Lewis. If Jesus said plenty of times that he's God, and of course Paul writes all kinds of places that he is God.
Yeah, and so not to diminish any of the civil rights aspects
of course,
Dr. King did, but anybody who stands in a pulpit and opens up God's word is accountable to preach the truth of God's word. And we can make mistakes, but you can't continue to make those mistakes unchecked. There's a problem there.
Yeah, and that's such a core belief of Orthodox Christianity. Forget about Orthodox, biblical Christianity.
Biblical Christianity.
Is that Jesus is fully God.
Truly God, as according to R.C. Sproul. Truly God, truly man.
Truly man, right. Absolutely. And if he's not, then the scriptures are not truthful. And Jesus isn't truthful, and we know that's not the case.
Yes, so. And there are a lot of people, and this is the reminder, and this was the context. There's a lot of people that even have the term reverend in front of their name, doctor in front of their name, minister in front of their name, that are going to hear the words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you."
Yeah,
and because the knowing him is being known by him. And if you're known by him, you abide in him, you preach his word. You should be able to hold up the Bible next to anybody's sermon, because the truth of God doesn't change. You know, I was telling Lori, I went out there, and actually one of the pastors out there preached a message on Mark 2. And I told Lori, it was so affirming to hear the same thing,
right?
You know, that we taught,
right?
But that's the spirit, because the truth is the truth; it doesn't change.
Yeah.
If you preach Mark 2, I preach Mark 2. Somebody else preaches it. The Spirit spoke one thing through the Gospel of Mark to the listeners.
Yeah, we might have different perspectives
or different applications,
but the core is going to be the same.
That's exactly.
Well, it's interesting. I was mentioning to you before we came on the air that I had a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door the other day, and one of the things they said along the lines about Jesus, whether he's God or not, they said he died for our sins, but he had to be a man because God can't die. And I wanted to say, you know, you're not far from the truth, because that's right. God can't die.
That's
that is why Jesus became a man. But he didn't stop being God.
He truly never.
God. And to your point that you've made many times, he willingly and in obedience with the Father's plan, he set aside some of his power. He set aside some of his, well, a lot of his glory, right? He set aside his prerogatives as God himself to become man and act as a man, right?
Yeah.
But he never stopped being God. That's why, you know, it says in the garden that he could have called 10,000 angels to come and how he I love the scene, the story in Gethsemane, or the fact that when they came to arrest him, you know, 1,000 soldiers and a mob with torches, and they said, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth," and he said, "I'm he," and they all fell down, just to give a little glimpse of let's make sure we all know who's really in control here. I'm giving up my life.
Yeah.
I'm giving it up. You're not taking it from me.
Yeah.
Right. And so he never,
because it was all part of God's plan.
Exactly. And that's what makes it even more amazing is that he never stopped being God and yet did these things.
Mm-hmm.
There's that great hymn I know I've talked about before that doesn't get sung enough at Christmas or at any time, but it's called "Thou Who Was Rich Beyond All Splendor, All for Love's Sake Became as Poor," right? Thrones for a manger did surrender, sapphire paved courts for stable floor. Mm-hmm. I mean, that captures a little bit of the taste of what Jesus left, but he never stopped being who he is.
No, he never did. And anyway, he was truly God and truly man. And so, I just think we need to be truthful. It doesn't matter who says it.
Yeah.
If it's not God's word,
you never
affirm it.
That's right.
And you call it out.
That's right.
MacArthur did that. So anyway,
we're going to take our first break here on SWAT Radio. Glad you're with us we're happy to be back live. Give us a call at 844-777-7928. If you have a comment or a question, and we will be right back after the break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida. They are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards. 904-580-7255. That's 904-480-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. That's guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group. Happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth.
Tuesday, March 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is hosting its inaugural job fair, uniting job seekers, employers, and community members toward talent and career growth. Job seekers can explore opportunities aligned with their skills and faith, while employers gain access to a pool of candidates dedicated to Christian values in the workplace. All are welcome to attend with special rates and sponsorship options for chamber members looking to increase visibility. Author and host of the Mere Christians podcast, Jordan Rayner, is the featured guest speaker of the day. Several other Christian professionals, educators, and personalities will be leading informative and inspiring breakout sessions. Save the date, enjoy lunch, and secure your spot as space is limited. The Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce 2024 Job Fair, Tuesday, March 26th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Schultz Center, 4019 Boulevard Center Drive, Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit neflchristianchamber.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Oceanway at 91.7.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life, I've With all the other not quite. We'll all never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. Cause I'm just a nobody.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Doug McCary, glad that you are with us, and we are glad to be back live in the studio here in Jacksonville after an absence. Like Doug said, he was away at a conference 2 weeks ago, and we had spring break and some things going on last week, so we did the best of SWAT Radio last week.
And, had a lot of good feedback, too. Thank you for those texts and emails, and really appreciate you guys responding. I tried to get the books out to those who requested them. Tommy Nelson, we replayed on depression, walking on water when you feel like you're drowning, is really good. And then John Maisel's book, Is Jesus God? For the Is Jesus God is taking a little longer. So, but rest assured, it will get to you. Just give me a little bit of time and I will. But thank you guys. And I appreciate your feedback on those programs. Really good program.
And as I've said before, I'm slowly getting over my disappointment that I wasn't included in any of the best of SWAT Radio programs.
That's okay,
Dave. I'll live, yeah.
I'll make it.
And, you know, we were talking before we came on, a big weekend here in Jacksonville every year in the Ponte Vedra area, right in our neck of the woods, is the Players' Championship. And, boy, we had quite a tournament.
It was really amazing. Lori and I watched the almost the whole thing in just pulling for Scotty Scheffler, who ended up winning. Scotty, a lot of people, don't know. He has been. I don't know him personally, but have witnessed him doing several interviews. He's always been outspoken about his faith. And he says, or he said, last year after winning, the reason why I play golf is I'm trying to glorify God and all that he's done in my life. So for me, my identity isn't a golf score. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
When you win the tournament. That's what he said after winning the Masters, yeah, which is like probably one of the most prestigious tournaments there is.
It is the most, I think. And of course, proponents of the Open Championship, which we call the British Open, would argue against that. But I think most PGA golf members would want to win the Masters above all else. But Scheffler is the first guy to win the Players' Championship twice, back-to-back. In the history of the 50-year history of the tournament. And I think I've mentioned this before. There's Netflix has a series, they're into the second season now, called Full Swing, that kind of documents life on the PGA Tour. And Scheffler, in a couple of the episodes in season one, you actually see him reading his Bible in the background. They talk to his wife a little bit, and you actually see him with his Bible and reading his Bible. And so you don't see that very often in those kinds of documentaries. So, he had a rough weekend as far as
Thursday and Friday really tough,
dealing with a neck injury and kind of coming through it. And he really had an incredible round yesterday to pull it out.
So. Yeah, and one of the things I want to talk about it, I mean, just say real quick is, you know, he wanted to partner up with a caddy who was a believer and his caddy is a believer.
Yes.
Ted Scott, yep. They go to Bible study together, and Ted Scott caddied for Bubba Watson.
Correct.
As well.
Right.
And, and Scheffler used to do a college golf fellowship retreat, basically for a faith-based ministry, go out and just try to minister to people in that world, which is his world, right?
Yeah.
And so just really appreciate that and was glad for him. Keep doing it for Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Play whatever you do, right? Whatever you do it for the Lord.
Well, those guys too, and I think of course, we always think, and we've talked about Tim Tebow and others, that they recognize, to your point, that that's not their identity. Just like all of us have to be reminded and remind ourselves that our job is not our identity, or, you know, what we do is not our identity, but who we are in Christ is our identity. I love the passage in Revelation where it says that Jesus will give to each of us a white stone with a name on it, known only to him and to us.
Wow. Yep.
That gives me goosebumps when I actually even mention that, or when I read, and I don't think about that often enough, but that's ultimately who we are. But he gives us these platforms. I never thought I'd be sitting behind a radio microphone. You probably never did either. And you never thought you'd go to Russia. And Scottie Scheffler probably thought he'd never be the number one golfer in the world. Well, maybe he did at some point, but Tim Tebow, right? They've got platforms that allow them to really impact a lot of people, and they've used it. And
yes,
you know, you look at Tebow, I mean, he's done with his playing career, but is there a bigger voice right now, you know, raising awareness about trafficking?
Yeah, I mean and God's incredible. Given him a good platform there, but even guys like Anthony Johnson, who we've had
sure,
on
absolutely.
Many, many times, who played for the Panthers and for the Jaguars, a standout out of Notre Dame. God gave him that platform to take him on a journey
yep.
to where he's now a counselor, and he's serving Christ in that way.
Yeah.
And so...
And just that reminder, you know, we all have a sphere of influence.
Yep.
Some are larger than others, like the guys we're talking about, just because of the field that they're in. But it's just as important for us to be impactful to our smaller spheres of influence, especially our families, our friends, you know, people that God puts us in front of and with them. But to be open to those opportunities and to be looking for them. Too often, I'm just rushing through my day with my head down and not looking for those opportunities. And so this is a good reminder and refreshing to see a guy like Scheffler react the way he does. Very humble, very unflappable. Even when he's not necessarily talking specifically about his faith, you can just tell there's a piece about him. And I think Ted Scott, his caddy, has a lot to do with that. He keeps him even on the course. They joke around a little bit. I loved that little scene yesterday after he holed out on the fourth.
Oh, yeah.
They have a little friendly wager going about if Scheffler can hole out 10 times, you know, either a chip in or from the fairway. And you could see Ted Scott holding up six fingers yesterday after he holed out on number four, meaning that's the sixth one this year. So I think that's a bet Ted Scott won't mind paying off if Scheffler makes it to 10 hole outs.
Yeah, I don't think he'll mind. That'd be a good one, because every time he does those, it tends to work out pretty well for him too.
Yep.
Hey, one other thing before we get into this week's passage, Mark 4. And we're in Mark 4 with the parables, but I had an opportunity yesterday to go speak at the City Rescue Mission Mission Church, which is just a really, really great opportunity. I want to thank Jamie Williams and Paul Stassi. Paul is the executive director down there, and they have a mission service that goes on over at their campus on McDuff. And it was so great, Dave, as I'm driving up, I'm seeing people standing outside waving to other people, trying to get anybody to come in, and had an opportunity to share with them. And I shared with them about the Evangelion, you know, the things that we've been covering in Mark on the gospel of Jesus, what it is, what it isn't. What it means to repent, what it means to believe, what it means to follow. All those things now we've been going over and over, that for you and I, since we've been covering this for the last year, it seems like, we got it, right? It's hard to always apply it, but we got it. And I was reminded there, I had several people come up just thanking me because they had never heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And we just live in a culture that really promulgates a forgiveness-only gospel, that makes the gospel really only about personal forgiveness instead of the rule and reign of Jesus. And it's a distortion. And as we've been covering this in Mark chapter 1, if you're just tuning in, we're really at the end of chapter 4 now. We've got... This week at our SWAT meetings, we're looking at the last little paragraph of chapter 4. And before we went on break, we covered the three parables that followed the parable of the sower and the soils. And remember when what was going on prior to that? One, Jesus had his disciples. He kind of withdrew from the religious leaders, and he called the 12 apostles who would be his disciples, his author, you know, his representatives. His family tried to intervene. The religious leaders were saying he was demonic, and then we saw how Jesus used the parable of the sower and the soils to help his followers understand. Listen, there's going to be hearts that are unprepared for me. And if your heart, and the only way a heart can be prepared for him is the word.
Mm.
Because without the word, the word is what we saw in Jeremiah that burns off the thorny soil, the weeds. It's the word that Jeremiah said that breaks up the rocks to be removed. And it has to be prepared. And this week on air, we're looking at these three little parables that reveal that his kingdom is unstoppable. It's not even up to us. We sometimes act like it is, but it's not. Mm. And so when we come back, we're going to have you read Mark 4, 21 through 34, and we're going to start looking at three stories, three parables he shares about the kingdom.
But we are going to take our break at the bottom of the hour for the news. And as Doug said, we will be diving into the scripture text for this week when we come back. Give us a call at 844-777-7928 if you have a comment or a question, and we'll be right back on SWAT Radio.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. As expected, President Vladimir Putin has sealed his control over Russia for six more years. Military affairs analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, tells the Salem Radio Network, Putin's re-election, along with the recent re-election of Xi Jinping as China's president, spells trouble for the Western world.
You've got stability amongst the two world's leading tyrant nations. And then, of course, they're aligned with other totalitarians in the Middle East and Asia.
Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis. Also at SRNnews.com, the Israeli army has called on people in and around Gaza's biggest medical facility to evacuate immediately as its forces again raid Al-Shifa Hospital.
In the last few hours, we've heard that 80 people have been detained in the hospital. We've also seen the IDF's Arabic spokesperson posting a map asking people in the vicinity of the hospital to move to Al-Mawasi. This is what the IDF has declared to be a safe zone on the eastern coast of Gaza. But of course, after more than 5 months of war, for people to actually move is proving increasingly difficult.
BBC correspondent Anna Foster. A charter flight carrying American citizens fleeing Haiti has landed in Miami.
State Department officials say more than 30 citizens were on the government chartered flight on Sunday. It arrived at Miami International Airport after the U.S. Embassy in Haiti earlier this month urged U.S. citizens to leave the nation as soon as possible because of chaos gripping the country. Haiti's main airport in Port-au-Prince remains closed following gang attacks. The State Department announced on Saturday that it would offer limited charter flights for American citizens from the less chaotic northern city of Cap Haitien. I'm Charles Ledesma.
Stocks are higher now. The Dow up 96 points. This is SRN News.
Let's see. If something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month. And that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Expect some delays because of a multi-vehicle crash on I-10 eastbound between Hammond Boulevard and the 295 West Beltway. Also, there's an accident on the West Beltway, 295 northbound before Blanding Boulevard. And there's a broken down vehicle on US 1 Phillips Highway northbound at Old St. Augustine Road blocking the left turn lane. Partly cloudy tonight, low 42, Tuesday sunny and breezy, high 64. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Doug McCary, glad that you are with us. And we are, as Doug said before the break, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4 all this week, verses 21 through 34. And this passage contains three short but powerful parables that that Doug was referring to before the break. So.
Yeah. And, you know, Dave, I just real quick, because if you're just tuning in, you have to remember that there is a very different way that we process truth in the East or West, wherever we're from. Like we're Westerners, right? And so we've been highly influenced by the Greek thought process and the way we process truth or information. The Eastern mind is very different. And parables were really stories where they would take everyday life situations, or it doesn't have to be, it could be a historical situation, but they would take these stories to illustrate a truth. And one rabbi said that a teaching without a parable is like a basket without handles. It's still there,
yeah,
but it's harder to carry, right?
A couple of quick observations about that, if you don't mind. Well, first of all, one of them is about going to Israel with you. And when we went to Nazareth Village, the recreated village that they recreated based on archaeological finds and tried to recreate it like it would have been in the time of Jesus, so many of the elements, as you said, that Jesus used in parables were visible to those people every day in the village, right?
Yeah.
From the watchtower to the wine press to the vineyard, right? So many things were right there in the village every day. And so he was using, and then when we went to, you know, the lesson from a couple of weeks ago here in Mark about, you know, the very well-known parable of the sower, when we went to what's the field called?
Nahala.
And we walked into those fields and we saw the rocky paths between leading up to the fields, and we saw the thorn bushes, and we saw, you know, all those things. It made it so much clearer to understand the parable. The other thing I was going to mention is I remember reading this once. I always joke that I haven't had an original thought since 1975. That if you take, we remember stories. Stories make an impression on us, right? So you can hear facts and figures, for example, about the Civil War. You can learn in school about where the battles were and what the strategy was and how many were killed or wounded on each side. But then you can watch a movie or read a book like about the movie like of Gettysburg and how powerful the story is. When you hear it in a story, it stays with you. And you remember, you can relate to it more, you understand it better, it stays with you. So sorry to go off.
No, that's okay. It engages the heart, right?
Exactly.
The story engages the heart. And the Jewish people reach the head through the heart, where or the Eastern people, where we try to reach the heart through the head. And so just going back to the Nahala real quick, there was a process involved. And we remember the parable the last time we taught was in Mark 4, 1 through 20. And that parable dealt with four different types of soil, a hard soil, a rocky soil, a thorny soil and then a good soil. And Jesus told this story about the farmer or the sower, in this sense, threw seed out, and it went on each one of those. Well, it didn't produce on the hard because a bird came and ate it, and the bird was Satan, and he took it away. It didn't produce on the rocky soil, although it looked like it did because immediately it went in, but because it wasn't deep, it didn't have a deep root,
right.
It immediately sprang up, and it looked like the real deal. The sun came out, and it wilted because it didn't have a deep root in it. The third kind popped up and looked good until the thorns around it enveloped it. And each one of those, the hard heart represented the Pharisees. The superficial or rocky represented the unprepared Jews, the curious, the ones who really weren't seeking to follow Messiah. They were seeking to use Messiah. And the third heart was the distracted heart. This was the Hellenist. This was the person that just wanted a spiritual component in their life. It's like Francis Schaeffer talks about a high world and a low world. God controls the high world, heaven, hell, spiritual things. I control the low world. Mm. That was their view. Yeah, you can't have that view, right? And so, and then the fourth soil was the fruitful heart. This is the true follower. And so this week, as we look at Mark 4, 21 through 34, Jesus continues to go on what he just shared. By the way, he told them, if you don't understand the one about the sower and the soils, you're not going to understand any of my parables. And so that one's key. It is the key that unlocks all the other parables about the kingdom. And so in the next three, he covers three little parables. And in these three, what he's revealing is that the euangelion, the fact that He is Messiah to rule and reign, that message is unstoppable. It doesn't matter what they try to do. And we're here today because that's true. And he tells them in these parables, the first one reveals that sharing the euangelion is our responsibility. We sow the seed. He uses us. He doesn't have to, but he does. Second parable is about God growing the seed. He grows it. It's his responsibility to grow it. We share it. He grows it. And then the third parable is about his kingdom is unstoppable and ever increasing. It starts small, and now look at where it is today. Mm-hmm. And so we're gonna have you read them. Today we're gonna get into the our responsibility part of sowing the seed. Tomorrow we will look at growing the gospel, God's part in it. And then Wednesday, we'll get into the fact of how it starts small and grows. So,
all right. Well, let me read Mark 4, verses 21 to 34. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has more, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. These are the very words of God.
And they are. And he says, the kingdom of God. So he's telling us right away that he's talking about his kingdom is as if a man should scatter seeds on the ground. Not the king, the man.
Hmm.
So this is our responsibility. He's telling them a story about a man who does it. The man sleeps and rises, just like you said. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. I'm on his responsibility. Let me go back to the lamp. Just shot right ahead. I'm so excited to get into this.
Well, you've been off for 2 weeks. You're a little rusty.
Yeah, I am. I just jumped right through verses 21 through 24. That's how you know we're live, right? No editing here, right? He said, a lamp brought in to be put under a basket. This is really a ridiculous question, David. Mm-hmm. This, nobody lights a lamp. In their culture, you didn't bring a lamp to put it under something.
Sure.
The whole purpose of the lamp is to light up the room. And he says in verse 22, he goes, it's to be made manifest. Nothing is hidden except to come out. In other words, these Old Testament prophecies about Messiah, they were hinted to a suffering Messiah, but this stuff is a mystery, right? And anytime something is a mystery or it's concealed, it's not concealed forever. It's concealed for a purpose, the timing. And so there's a gap in the rule of Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah to come and immediately rule to overthrow Rome. But no, these things were kept secret for long ages, but now they've been disclosed, is what Revelation says. And so the lamp is to be shining out. And remember, Jesus said what you've heard, what? Shout mm-hmm. from the rooftops. And he says in verse 23, if anybody has ears to hear, let them shema. Let them hear it and then act on it. So when we come back, we're going to look at that and people can call in, because I want to talk about this empty basket thing. It's a little confusing for some people. They don't know what he's talking about.
There. Yeah. Well, of course, this reminds us too of other scriptures, right? Let your light so shine before men, and yep. you are the light of the world, right? Those kinds of statements made by Jesus, that's what we're here to do. So we'll get continue this discussion when we come back. Call us at 844-777-7928. If you have a comment or a question, we'd love to hear from you. And we'll be right back on SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Riverside at 91.7.
Ramblers in the wilderness, we can't find what we need. We get a little restless from searching, get a little worn down in between. Like a bull chasing the matadors, a man left with his own schemes. Everybody needs someone beside them, shining like a lighthouse from the sea.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Doug McCary, glad that you are with us. And we are reading and talking about Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 34. And Doug has just started to go over in the last segment kind of some teaching and meaning of the first parable that Jesus taught about we don't put light a lamp and put it under a basket, and the idea that we are responsible for spreading the gospel and proclaiming it.
Well, yeah, and he starts off again asking a ridiculous question, you know, because nobody lights a lamp to put it under a basket or under a bed. and not on a stand. And he says, so he says this on the heels of teaching them the parable of the sower and the soils, tell them this is the most important one about the kingdom. And so then in verse 22, it says, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, or secret except to come to light. So there's going to be a time when this stuff is going to be put out there. And then he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him shema, or let him hear. And then he said in verse 24, pay attention to what you listen to, or to what you hear. I think about that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
He's warning, pay attention to what you listen to or what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. The one who has, more will be given. I always didn't understand that. You know, that really was a little confusing. But what he's saying there is, if you come to me with an empty basket, then I'll fill it and you'll get more and more. He's going to reveal the secret of the church, the secret of Messiah being a suffering Messiah, the secret of the second coming, the secret of the gap in Messiah's rule, the secret of all these different things. He's going to reveal to you, and the more he reveals, the more you're able to understand, and you'll get more and more.
And the more you're able to share.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to the one who has, he's going to do that. This is people who follow me. To those people, more will be given. If you remember, David, you read it, but we haven't really talked about it. But it says in verse 34, he did not speak to them without a parable, but he privately to his only disciples, he explained everything, right? You said that was the last verse you read. He took them aside and explained everything because he wanted them to get it. People who follow me, more is going to be given. But to the one who has not, people who reject me, false believers, those who just want to use me, they will lose what they have because their understanding of Old Testament will not make sense apart from me. Does that make sense to that little section there? Because that was very confusing to me. I didn't know, what does it mean those who have will get more and those who don't have? I didn't understand why. But you see how it makes sense like that? People who follow are going to get more. People who reject, what they have is going to go away because they're rejecting.
It reminds me of the scripture for the first part that says, draw close to God and he'll draw close to you.
Yeah.
This idea that as we seek him, right, and we earnestly seek him, he reveals himself.
Yes.
And he reveals his truth and helps us to understand it, to your point, and helps us to get more understanding versus those who are not seeking or think they're all set.
And again, I can't emphasize this enough. That apart from Jesus, the Old Testament will not make sense in his economy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you just try to understand it from, and do we do that, Dave? Do people read the Bible and try to understand it on a human level?
And think about it. If you were reading the Old Testament apart from having, you know, I've mentioned this before, right? And we were mentioning Alistair Begg earlier. I actually got this from him, and he got it from somewhere else, right? But the Old Testament is Jesus predicted. The Gospels are Jesus revealed. Acts is Jesus preached. The letters are Jesus explained, and Revelation is Jesus anticipated, right? That's a good way to look at the whole of Scripture. And so if you just read the Old Testament apart from it being kind of about Jesus prophesied or predicted— then you're just reading all these isolated, seemingly unconnected events.
Yes.
And they don't make a lot of sense.
Yes. Well, I mean...
Or you have a misunderstanding, to your point, about if you don't understand the Old Testament, you have a misunderstanding about who Jesus was going to be when he came.
Well, when Jesus says, those who have ears to hear, this is the fruit-bearing soil. I mean, that's who he's talking to. They're going to get even more teaching and understanding 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But those who refuse to open their hearts up to kingdom truth. And these are the first three soils. Mm-hmm. The hard soil, the Pharisees. The rocky soil, the curious, yeah. You know, the superficial.
Yep.
The thorny soil, the Hellenist. The people that care more about the here and now than they do the eternal. They're going to lose even what they might have mm-hmm. been exposed to in mm-hmm. front of them, right? Mm-hmm. So, when you stop and think about it, the Jews who reject Jesus, who are Jews not spiritually, but physically because they're children of Abraham, they lose their place in the olive tree because they've basically, you know, they've rejected him. Mm-hmm. And these branches are broken off. These people reject Christ and die. We're talking about the people who are alive right there with Jesus, hear the Messiah, see the Messiah, reject the Messiah.
Yeah.
There's no hope for them.
It's what Paul's writing about in Romans 9, where he says, he's talking about Jews who are physical descendants of Abraham, but to your point, who have rejected Jesus. He says that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And then these are the things, to your point, that they lose. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. Right? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's they lose. Well, that's what he's saying.
Right.
Even what he has will be taken mm-hmm. away.
Right.
I mean, these people were the physical descendants of Abraham that were a part of the covenant that God made with right. Abraham.
Right.
But what happened is, you remember when the blind man was healed and Jesus said, you know, you think you can see, that's your problem.
Mm.
Remember he said that to mm-hmm. him? He goes, if you didn't think you could see, then you would receive me. But you know, you think you can see. They were so arrogant that they rejected God's son.
Mm-hmm.
They rejected Messiah who had come for them. And so they lost what they had. And so that's tragic when you stop and think about it. It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Because the law came through them to reveal our need, but they didn't think they had a need.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so anyway, that was very helpful for me in looking at that first parable, the sharing of the gospel. Oh, but don't miss what he's saying there. We sow the seed. We're the lamp. We're supposed to shine. We don't put it under a bed. We put it up on a stand. So here's the question for us. What are we doing mm-hmm. with the lamp? What are we doing with the gospel? I mean, we are supposed to be putting that out there for people to see. We sowed the seed.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in our culture, we have a pretty high percentage, up in the 90% range, of people that go to church every Sunday that don't share the gospel mm-hmm. with anybody.
Yeah. I was going to say this is a sobering personal application passage. It's you know, on Fridays, if Brad and I are on, the last question we always try to ask is, so what?
Yeah.
Right? What do we do with this? How are we to be different because we've been in a particular passage? And this one is pretty clear. The reason that we are here is to be this lamp.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are we doing? What am I doing? Forget about whenever I say we, I really mean I.
Yeah.
What am I doing with this? Am I fulfilling this task?
Am I sowing a seed
right.
for my king?
Right.
If not, here's the question we have to ask. If we're not shining, if we're not sowing, throwing the seed out, what is it that's keeping me from doing that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the area we need to ask God for help in.
Yeah.
You know, help me, Lord, to know why is there a basket on top of me?
And I think the answer for me is that a lot of times I have elements of those other types of soil. I have elements of